I've entitled my message, The Rock of Rock's Royal Priesthood, of which you and I are privileged to be members of. Our text, 1 Peter 2, 1 to 12. I was given 4 to 12, but I've had some of this already, but we've missed a few Sundays of it, so bear with me. 1 Peter is addressed to Christians scattered throughout the five Roman provinces of the peninsula of Asia Minor. That area today is called Northern Turkey. And Lord willing, me and my wife want to go and see this place in April. The churches of these provinces were made up of Jews and Gentiles, and Peter is careful to include both of these groups in his letters. The purpose of 1 Peter was to encourage Christians to face persecution so that the true grace of Jesus Christ would be evidenced in them, according to chapter 5, verse 12. Peter does a great job of linking doctrine with practice as the new birth gives a living hope to those in the midst of persecution. New conduct is prescribed because Christ endured unjust suffering. New behavior is required to demonstrate the grace of God to an unbelieving and a hostile world. And new responsibilities are placed on the leaders and members of the body of Christ, since they should stand together as living stones against the coming tide of persecution. When reading 1 Peter, we are encouraged to lift our eyes from the present problems and trials and behold the beauty of the situation provided by an eternal perspective. For though believers may for a while suffer grief and trials, we wait for an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's kept in heaven for us. Let's begin at verse 1. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, therefore. So you have to look around and say, what's the therefore, therefore? So then you go back to verse 23 of the first chapter, where he says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, this stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Peter says in this text, it's time to get rid of malice, meaning wicked ill will. Deceit, deliberate dishonesty. Hypocrisy, pretended spirituality and love. It's phony. Envy, resentful discontent, slander, backbiting lies. These are the five sins that Peter lists of attitude and speech, which have no place in the hearts and lives of those who are born again. We are to make decisive breaks from the past life that we used to live in. Peter wants his readers to be eager for the Word of God and the spiritual nourishment it provides as a newborn baby is eager for its mother's milk. Have you seen a newborn baby eager for its mother's milk? We've had the privilege of doing that a number of times recently since we've had two grandsons born to us in the last 6 months. They're eager for the nourishment that mother's milk provides. After believers throw off this old garment of sinful attitude and speech, they need to feed on wholesome spiritual food that produces growth. Immersing ourselves in the Word of God will help us to put on a new garment in place of the old. It may not happen overnight, but remember that a daily dose of godly leaven, His Word, can cause the whole loaf to rise above its old condition. Peter says, "Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, crave the pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up. But don't stay in the milk stage. Get ready for some solid food, spiritual meat and potatoes, taking on responsibility in the body of Christ." A number of years ago now, me and my wife had the privilege of taking a 30th anniversary holiday, and we went to see the furthest eastern rock of Canada, St. John's, Newfoundland. On our way back, we stopped in Toronto, and we visited the CN Tower. It was quite an experience. Heard a lot about it, but hadn't been to it. While we're in the CN Tower, and you're looking down, you're overlooking which stadium? Who's been to the CN Tower and looked down? Isaac. Used to be called Harold Ballard's Maple Leaf Gardens, now known as the Rogers Center. Looking down, I seen the parking lot full of semi-tractor trailer units. Me having a little interest in trucks, I asked a few questions of our guide of the tower. He said, the Rolling Stones are setting up for a concert this weekend. 27 units. 27 tractor-trailer units to bring in the equipment needed for a Rolling Stones concert in Rogers Center. It's quite entertaining. I took a few pictures. I've got them at home for anybody that wants to see them. They didn't all fit in the parking lot. Some were scattered further on down streets, but they were coming in with 27 semi-tractor loads. And I was amazed at the attention that was given to this event. But as we go through this text, we're going to see something that is not a rolling stone, but it's a living stone. We're going to find out there's quite a difference. And we will look at the end result at the end of this service. Peter wants us to make some commitment in this passage. As you come to him, the living stone, he says, does not refer to you coming to Christ for salvation initially. Peter is writing this letter to believers, ladies and gentlemen. He's not writing this letter to non-Christians. As you come to him, the living stone does not refer to you coming to Christ for salvation, but rather developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It takes commitment to build a relationship. I talked to my wife, and she gave me permission, and I'm going to share a little story about a time when cell phones weren't quite as readily available as they are today. I'm talking back 1972. I don't think the iPhone was readily available back then. But we had a commitment to each other. We loved each other, and we had a future plan in store. And you know what it's like when the ice is out and the ferry's not in? What happens? Transportation comes to a halt. Coming from La Crete to High Level, High Level to Fort Vermilion, Bloomin'Ort, which was the metropolis at the time for us. And so we committed ourselves to phoning. And guess where you phone from? You phone from the sidewalk in front of the High Level drugstore. The payphone. Click, click. Ding-a-ling. Technology, folks. So I called her on a regular basis. And I know the one night in particular, we just talked about it this morning, if my memory had served me correctly, and she said yes. See, in the Penner household, the phone booth consisted of the kitchen table and the phone being right there on the wall, and here was the window. And you would sit on the table and have the phone in your hand, and you put your feet up on the windowsill. That was the phone booth in the Penner household. And we had a lengthy phone call. And we had a lot of things to discuss because the ice was out and the ferry wasn't in. This is springtime of the year. And my wife made the comment that her feet were getting cold. She had them up against the window. And to our surprise, a few days later we found out that basically the whole community knew that my girlfriend's feet had gotten cold in this conversation. Thanks to Party Line. It was faster than Facebook. We need to commit ourselves to allowing God to use us as building materials and building the spiritual house, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. It takes a commitment to relationship with Jesus, the living stone, the great high priest, in order for us to become a holy priesthood, which Peter calls us. By the way, if you're reading this passage and you're thinking this pertains to the people of long ago that Peter wrote to back in the day, you better include yourself in it. This is a living word. It's effective today. It pertains to us today as it did to the people that Peter had as an audience back in his day. This is also the first step in practicing holiness. In order for us to become a holy priest, a holy priesthood, as Peter calls us, we need to become holy in our living, and that is why he's telling us to throw off the old garment in the beginning of this passage. Holiness is having fellowship with Jesus Christ, the living stone. It's a rather unique figure of speech Peter is using here. He started with referring to Christ earlier on in this letter as the living hope in 1:3 and the living word in 1:23. And now in 2:4, as the living stone. Since it is a living stone, it can also give life to others who are interested in having a relationship with him. That's the benefit of having a living stone. It can give life. Holiness is about being whole. W-H-O-L-E. We only become whole with Christ. Without him, you and I are incomplete. The Holy Spirit wants to bring the whole life of Christ into the whole of our personalities so that the whole love of God can be relayed to the whole world. This is the work that the Rock, Jesus Christ, has instructed us as his holy priesthood to do. To bring the love of God to the whole world. Usually when a developer wants to build a shopping mall, he will generally look for a couple of anchor stores. Maybe the Bay, Sears, Eaton's, Target, and so on. He's looking for a couple of anchor stores that will be a financial anchor for the building project before he begins. Anchor stores to a mall are what Jesus Christ is to the church. A cornerstone. An anchor. Although rejected by men in many cases, he is chosen by God and he is precious to him. And whoever puts his trust in him as the anchor of his or her life will never be put to shame, Peter says. To those who do not believe, this living stone has become the stone the builders rejected, a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. Why does this happen? Because they disobey the message. And if they continue to disobey and not believe the message of saving grace through faith in Jesus Christ, they are destined for eternal destruction. John 3:18 says it this way, that whoever believes in him, Jesus, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. In order for anyone to stop stumbling and falling over this rock, you need to believe that Jesus is the life-giving rock of all ages. The Savior of all who come to him in faith. If you're stumbling because of Jesus today, if people that know Jesus make your skin crawl, I urge you, don't leave here before you've talked to someone and done the most important business that you will ever do in your life. You need to know Jesus Christ. You need to pursue a relationship with him. That's the most important business you'll ever do in life. Don't waste your life without knowing him. It won't cost you anything financially, but since we think we will please God by giving him everything except our lives, we remain discontent and unhappy. Here's how man feels toward God. Lord, I said, I want to be your man, not my own. So to you I give my money, my car, even my home. Then smug and content, I relax with a smile and whisper to God, I bet it's been a while since anyone has given so much so freely. His answer surprised me. He replied, not really. Not a day has gone by since the beginning of time that someone hasn't offered meager nickels and dimes, golden altars and crosses, contributions and penance, stone monuments and steeples, but why not repentance? The money, the statues, the cathedrals you've built, do you really think I need your offering of guilt? What good is money that's meant only to salve the hurting conscience that so many of you have? Your lips know no prayers, your eyes no compassion, but you will go to church when church going's in fashion. Give me a tear, a heart ready to mold, and I'll give you a mission, a message so bold that a fire will be stirred where there was only death, and your heart will be flamed by my life and my breath. I stuck my hands in my pockets and kicked at the dirt. It's tough to be corrected. I guess my feelings were hurt. But it was worth the struggle to realize the thought that the cross isn't for sale and Christ's blood cannot be bought. Amen? Peter is talking to believers here, and since it's a living word that talks about the living stone, that means it's relevant to us right here, right now, in La Crete Christian Fellowship. This message includes us as believers. Verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. What is the position? We're chosen. We are chosen. royal priesthood belonging to God. Israel was God's showcase nation back in the Old Testament. You remember how Israel walked through the land and everybody lived in fear of the Israelites coming. Now, believers are included in that showcase nation. You and I are included through the grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ to become part of God's showcase nation on earth. We're included in this, what Peter calls a royal priesthood. The royal priesthood of believers. Get your thoughts out of the chair that you're sitting in and put yourself on the elevation that Peter's talking to these people. You're a showcase nation. You are a member of the royal priesthood of the God of heaven. For what purpose? To declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His wonderful light. The darkness here refers to the time when the readers were pagans. And you and I can reflect back on those days as well. Ignorant of God's salvation. Ignorance of God's salvation. Peter says, when they were not a people, not having received mercy. But now you have received mercy. See, mercy is when God does not give you what you really deserve. When you really deserve a punishment and God withholds it, that's mercy. When your son or daughter takes your car and rolls it, writes it off, burns the house down, spends all your money, and you do not exercise any punishment, but you offer grace. You've extended mercy to your son or daughter. Grace is what God gives you that you do not deserve. Christ's sacrifice on your behalf to deliver you from a hell to come. You and I did not deserve that. Our life wouldn't have been long enough to pay for the penalty of sin. So Christ did it voluntarily. On your behalf and mine. That's grace. God giving you what you do not deserve. In verse 11, the Holy Spirit is willing to help us. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. We're all too familiar with the sinful desires that are part of our human nature. It's something that we battle with each and every day of our lives. The only way that we can overcome it is to allow the Holy Spirit, who is willing to help us, to resist the sinward pull of the worldly desires that war against our souls. In the spiritual battle that we face daily, it is the enemy's strategy to attack us at our weakest points. He's a coward, ladies and gentlemen. The enemy doesn't want to face you face to face. He wants to come from behind. And he wants to attack you at your weakest point. Peter listed 5 sins at the beginning of this passage that he encourages us to get rid of. There are many more that we are tempted with today in today's world. That's why it's the most important for us to have a close relationship with Jesus Christ, because we need His help all the time. You can't live with thinking that you only need Jesus on Sunday morning. Because if you do, your week's going to be a wreck. You need His help all the time. The minute you think that you can fight the enemy on your own, you're in trouble. Verse 12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. It's our challenge for the rest of our lives to live such good lives. Positive Christian lifestyle is a powerful means of convicting the world of its sin. Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "To let our light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." These deeds don't save us. They are a living testimony of what God has done for us. Amen? These deeds don't save us. They're a living testimony of what God has done for us. Grace through faith in Jesus Christ saves us. When the stage is set for Christ's return, he will draw a lot more attention than the Rolling Stones concert in the Rogers Center. The reason I say that is this. I have God's word on it, and so do you. If you turn to the stage of Revelation 1, chapter 7 and 8. Chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, pardon me. And John writes these words. He says, "Look, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen." And Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." When Jesus comes back, ladies and gentlemen, even the Rolling Stones will see him. I'm not picking on the Rolling Stones, folks. It just happened to be something we ran into of interest. He says, every eye will see him. There'll be no requirement of tickets being bought. It'll be free. Turn your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's pray. God in heaven, I thank you for your living word. I thank you that you're a living stone that gives life to anyone who asks for it. And that includes Rolling Stones. We give you the praise for your grace and your mercy. Help us, Lord Jesus, to live a life that echoes your praise, and that the world that is watching looks at us as a peculiar people because of the joy that is within us, not because of how we dress or what we say or what we don't do or what we don't eat and so on and so forth, but because of the joy that is hidden within our hearts that we echo from our lips and carry out in our actions. To you we give praise both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.